According to a Harris poll, 80% of people believe God exists. 73% believe in heaven. 59% believe the devil is a factual being. More than one-third believe UFOs are real. 47% believe the theory of evolution. Conversely, 100% of these people cannot believe they listen to...
If you're fed up with lame, uninspired talk radio, tune in to LA Talk Radio for reverent, entertaining, and cool talk.
December days may be dark, but they're never dull, as we find out when Backtime remembers the way it was December 16th. Today in 1951, video began killing the radio star as one of radio's most popular dramas, Dragnet, premiered on NBC TV. On this day in 1972, the Miami Dolphins became the first NFL team to go unbeaten and untied in a 14-game regular season. And on this day in 1973, O.J. Simpson broke Jim Brown's single-season NFL rushing record. Today, Simpson has another kind of record, but we won't go into that right now. That's Back Chime for December 16th. This is your announcer speaking.
Jet Li hugs three friends at once. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Hong Kong film legend Jet Li amazed scores of onlookers today by performing the supposedly impossible triple lotus panda hug maneuver on friends he had not seen in over 15 years. Many believe the technique required to perform this maneuver had been lost for centuries. Local man Chen Bao witnessed the scene.
All who have attempted this maneuver before have succumbed to madness and despair.
Jet Li later told reporters of acquiring the skill while studying with a master of the friendly arts who it is believed could shake the hands of 15 men before they knew they had been greeted. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Holiday Spirit Hypocrite.
Mr. Holiday Spirit Hypocrite.
We hear your endless complaints about how no one remembers the true meaning of Christmas and that it's gotten too commercial. But you get Yuletide amnesia once you hit them all.
Every 4 years.
You took a swing at the lady who got the last Elmo.
A traditional Christmas in jail, yeah.
So when some modern-day George Bailey stops pontificating long enough to beat you to the last Xbox, don't get mad. Ring a bell and give angel wings to Mr. Holiday Spirit Hypocrite, a real American hero. Hark the herald angels sing, you must buy a new flat screen.
Previously on Sam and Susie in the Morning.
And then we go and we get in his bed. And so we kind of start fooling around a little bit. And all of a sudden, like, he sticks his hand in my, you know, wet pussy. Like, I was wet from the pool and, like, wet from being wet. And all of a sudden, I queefed. And I had never, like, I'd never had a hand
for
in my...
For those who don't know what queefing is, it's a pussy fart.
Yes, it's a pussy fart.
Pussy fart.
So he sticks his hand in my pussy and I queef. So I was so mortified, like, my face turns red and he pulls his hand out and he was like, oh my God, that was disgusting. Put your clothes on, I'm taking you home.
It's Sam and Susie in the Morning, LA Talk Radio. From high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.
And as we fuck up the beginning of our show, welcome to Tuesday, December 16th.
Oh my God, is it already?
It is, wow.
Shit, Christmas is like a week away.
Yes, and we're back live
in
the studio.
Welcome.
Yeah, you just couldn't wait till today. You were actually disappointed that you couldn't come in yesterday.
I was very, very disappointed. I had quite a few things to talk about.
Okay, well, you'll talk about them all today, I'm sure.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so I might be coughing and sounding congested, so just forgive me
Keep
for that.
Keep your SARS over there.
Yes. I figured I'd probably eventually get sick because everybody else is, you know?
I know. It's only a matter of time.
Yeah.
And especially the way you run yourself ragged. I mean, you really couldn't.
I'll be fine. Yeah, I mean, don't feel sorry for me. That's the bottom line here. Aww. I'm doing fine.
Well, when I'm sick, I want you to feel sorry for me.
Okay, I do.
Okay, good.
Yeah. But it's actually freezing in the studio today. We have a very clear day after a rainy day.
Yeah, it was amazing. I loved the rain yesterday.
But it's been so fucking cold.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe it?
I kind of like it.
I'm sure you do, because you're from back east. You're used to it.
Exactly.
We're not used to it. We don't even dress for it, you know, so...
I'm wearing my mink.
Yeah.
So soft.
Is that a real mink?
It is.
Mm.
When I bought this...
I can hear PETA already calling us.
When I bought this, they gave me a free... they're like, if you buy this mink for $5,000, we'll give you a free beaver vest. And I was like, ooh, I want a beaver vest. And so I have my sheared beaver, and I walk around and I ask people, I'm like, do you want to pet my beaver? And it's made out of Canadian's finest beaver.
And talking about Canadians,
yes.
We're going to have an author today who wrote the book...
U.S. of Eh.
The U.S. of Eh. And obviously, this is about Canadians, and it's written in a lighthearted fashion, but it actually shows you how much Canada is influencing the United States.
I'm excited to have this author on.
Yeah, and it's really cool. You know, I mean, all their singers and, you know, and musicians mm-hmm. and actors and all this. A lot of people we don't even know are Canadians are. And it's amazing how Canadians are always viewed as nice people and peaceful and stuff, you know?
Yes.
So it was pretty fun reading at least part of the book. So.
I'm telling you, I love Canadians like more than anything in the world. They're like my favorite people.
Really?
Hold on, I have to take my bracelets off because you're going to have a heart attack.
Why?
Because they jingle.
Oh.
And they make all kinds of extraneous noise.
That's your instrument, your musical instrument for the day.
Yes. Or the skin flute. No, I already played that this morning.
You did, huh?
Yes.
Wow, it's becoming a regular thing.
And
though.
My pussy is killing me. I love it.
Really?
You know when you're just like you're so
feeling it?
Sore from yeah. being fucked all night and all morning?
Uh-huh.
And you wake up and you do it again?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't know it because I don't have a pussy, but I've heard that before.
Oh, it's the best, oh my God, feeling in the world, just having like a sore pussy having been fucked so
oh,
hard.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, it's like getting a workout when your body's sore and stuff. You know?
This morning, though, I really decided I like dating a younger man because after we had fucked like all night and then today, mm-hmm. you know, all of a sudden, you know, he comes and I'm like, Then I grab his dick again and I was like, more. I was like, up, boy, up. His recovery time is amazing.
Yeah.
It was like instantaneous. And I was like, damn. And he's like, I'm going to be, you know, I'm spoiling you. He's like, I should stop.
Yeah.
I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Don't stop. But speaking of being spoiled, I just wanted to say I'm the luckiest girl in the world today.
Why is that?
Because I had my student loans paid off yesterday.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. 100% of them.
Student loans.
That was a Christmas present from Michael.
Wow. What a nice present.
I know. I was walking around like in shock for
what
the whole
day. What a
weight
off your shoulder, huh?
Well, I didn't pay them anyway, so it didn't really matter.
You don't really give a shit.
No,
yeah,
I should
but
say that.
It hangs over your head, you know?
I know, and it was like fucking up my credit report and everything, you know what I mean? Just kind of like being on there is like this black mark, and it was like, default, she defaulted.
Yeah.
And they were actually trying to take some kind of legal action against me. It was in like the legal department of a collection agency.
Oh my God. Yeah, that totally screwed up your credit then.
It's okay, not anymore.
No.
It's paid off.
Yeah, you don't need credit. You have personal banks.
I would have been paying that loan for like the next 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, and if you think about like how much that compounds over time, you actually end up paying double what the loan was.
Yeah.
Like, that's such highway robbery. I mean, that's just awful.
Yeah. But you know what? I got to tell you something about colleges and shit and people that spend so much money. You know, I went to college and, you know, I didn't go to the best college, but I could have. Let's say I decided to go into UCLA. Still, I don't need any of the dorm expenses, all the living expenses and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think if a person goes to college, okay, you go to school, you get a part-time job or even a full-time job to support yourself, then you don't need to spend tens of thousands of dollars on college. You know, I just think people really like take a ride on those loans. What do you think?
Actually, well, to be honest, the bulk of this loan that I took out,
uh-huh.
it didn't pay for school.
Yeah, well, I didn't think so.
I think I used part of it to go like hunting in Africa, and I think I used part of it to do some drugs and, you know, just like, and I actually, and then I used some of it to just live off of, so I didn't have to work all the time. I still was working, but I used the money I was working for, you know, to party and play and to go on my little travels.
All I know is that you don't have to take student loans, you know, and, you know, you can go to school and still do very well and get a good degree without having all these expenses. You know, it's crazy. I mean, to spend, what, 20 grand a year on, on college or something? Mm-hmm. That's a lot of fucking money, you know?
It really is.
Yeah.
But I don't have any bills anymore.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I just can't believe that. I mean, that was just so amazing.
Yeah, well, obviously it did a lot for you. You're very happy now.
I'm, yeah.
Yeah, you feel free.
I have a massive weight off my, it's just unbelievable. I don't know. I don't know. My pussy hurts.
Well, congratulations.
I don't have any loans.
Yeah.
It's a good fucking day,
and
Sam.
Your pussy's not, does not hurt from the man who's paying off your loans either.
No.
Somebody else is benefiting from this.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I don't know. My logic says the guy that's fucking you is supposed to pay for your loans.
Zane, did you hear that? Oh, man. I don't think he would like, I don't think he would like to hear that very much.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I had a very, I had a very interesting weekend.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You weren't here Friday. What did you do Friday?
Friday, little Liam Cord, Liam Cord was born.
Mm-hmm.
8 pounds, 9 ounces, a little boy. And so I was staying in Orange County with DJ, who's the woman who had the baby, and her family.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so wonderful and relaxing. Her family is so great and so much fun.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The mom's like completely just so much like full of energy and just like, you know, she's just constantly in the kitchen and baking things and just running around. And I don't know. Like, that's the kind of grandmother I want to be.
Yeah.
Yes. But so it was just so cute because...
First you have to have kids and then you'll be a grandma.
Shit, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Well, I'll keep
there's one obstacle.
I'll keep practicing. I'll practice very hard, Sam, I promise.
Yeah.
Practice last night and this morning.
I'm sure, I'm sure. How many kids would you like to have?
I think two.
Two?
Maybe have
two
one.
Is plenty.
Have one of my own and then adopt one.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do you want to adopt one?
Well, personally, I would like to adopt both of them, but I mean, I think it's very important to go through the process of having a baby and being pregnant if you're a woman and if
right,
you want to have kids.
Right.
But I also think there's too many people in the world and we're overpopulated, and I would like to kind of help out with that.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big deal, you know, to say I'm going to help someone else and you know, forego having my own baby just to help someone else. And, and then you have to raise this kid, you know?
Yep.
So, wow, that's pretty noble.
Yeah. But so, I mean, I would ideally like to have, you know, all of my own and be very selfish because I think I'm fabulous and I would make fabulous babies.
Yeah.
But I'm just kidding.
I'm sure you'd even mold the adopted one into what you wanted, you know?
Exactly.
So there's no problem there.
But no, I don't know. You know what I mean? It's just like one of those things.
Yeah.
Part of being a woman. You want to have a kid.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
I want my tits to get all swollen and big. What?
Nipples get all dark brown and stuff. You
is
know?
That, what, do they get dark brown after
they
you
do.
Have a baby?
Not after, I think while you're pregnant.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Maybe not everybody, you know, but I've seen it happen. Why? I don't know why.
Because I have light nipples. I have very fair.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. Well, they're I don't know. What the fuck do I know about nipples? I'm just telling you what I've seen, okay?
Oh, man. That's too funny.
But yeah, but you know, after pregnancy, I mean, it totally like ravages your body. You
I
know?
Like being ravaged.
But I know. but the thing is that, you know, once... what I think is this, like a lot of women, they look worse after pregnancy, but some women like go back to the way they were. And usually these women are the ones that, they're 9 months pregnant, but you look from behind and they don't look pregnant at all.
Yeah, exactly.
They only have the basketball there, you know?
Yep.
And then once that basketball is gone, they have that great body again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting, you know?
I know. And I mean, looking at all the Hollywood starlets and everything that have their babies and stuff, I mean, they go right back to their pre-baby
they really
like,
do.
Instantly.
How do they do that?
Personal trainers,
well, they
personal
also
chefs.
They also have good genes. You know, I mean, they started off with a good body.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm saying.
I'll give you that.
Yeah. Thank you.
But so I just wanted to tell you how cute little Ethan was. He's a 3-year-old that I nanny for.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's the one who had the little brother over the weekend. But so I'm at his grandparents' house, and I'm asleep in my bed. You know, I'm having a grand old time being passed out and getting a good night's sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, it's 3:57 in the morning, and he comes jumping up into my bed. Yeah. And he just hops into my arms, cuts it under the covers, and, like, just snuggles with me.
Oh.
This adorable little 3-year-old boy. He just gets in bed and just, like, snuggles. He grabbed my blingy that I sleep with,
uh-huh.
my baby blanket, And, like, that was the only thing that I, like, didn't like about it, because he tried to steal it. And I'm like, my fucking Blinky, give it back. And he's like, no, I want Blinky. And I'm like, you little shit, give it to me. But, oh, this is actually funny, too. So as soon as I walk into the house, you know, I meet the grandmother, and Ethan's like, Doozy, I'm so excited you're here. And I'm like, all right, I got to go to the bathroom. Where's my room? Mm-hmm. So the grandmother brings me up to my room, and I go, and I sit on the toilet, and I'm peeing. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, Ethan comes running into the bathroom, like, while I'm, like, midstream. And first thing I noticed when I sat down on the toilet was the toilet seat heated up on my ass. And I was like, ooh, like, this is nice.
A heated toilet seat?
A heated toilet seat.
Really?
So after I'm sitting there with my ass nice and warm on the heated toilet seat, and Ethan barges into the bathroom, and he's like, Doozy, I love you. And I'm like, thank you. Next thing
and
you know,
on the toilet?
I'm on the toilet. Next thing you know, I have a reverse propulsion jet stream shooting up my ass and my vagina.
Wow.
And I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? He had pushed, like, it was a heated toilet seat that does, like, a vaginal douche and right. an ass douche.
Right.
And it can oscillate or pulsate. And then when you're done, you push dry.
Mm-hmm.
And you get, like, a blow dryer that comes up and, like, dries your ass and your vagina.
I've heard of those.
But so I had no idea what was going on. Next thing, I'm sitting there peeing. You know, the stream is going out, and next thing you know, I've got the reverse stream, like, straight up the ass.
Right.
And I mean, it was like the money shot. It was like right in the hole.
Really?
Yeah.
Perfect.
I know.
What'd you think of it? I mean
totally,
at first
I was quite shocked.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But after I got over my shock, my shockage, literally like shockage, like both holes, which was like, whoa, I really liked it.
Yeah?
Yes. I spent a lot of time on that toilet.
Really? I'm sure.
Oh, man, it's like a sex toy built into, like, I don't know.
Really? So you masturbated on it?
Maybe.
Oh, that means yes, of course.
Maybe.
Wow. Yeah, you find toys in everything.
Well, the toy found me. You know what I mean? Like, it was just like, wow, out of nowhere. But so I thought that was really funny and cute. So I just, I had a really good time with the family. It was cool.
Yeah.
And then Saturday night, I had to go up to Malibu and go directly to working there until 4 in the morning. And then after that, I went straight to Lane's house at 4:30 in the morning, woke him up, got some nookie.
There's no day and night for you. I mean, you're just like, regardless of what time it is.
So I got zero sleep Saturday night, very little sleep on Thursday, Friday. I haven't been in my bed since Wednesday night. Let's
really?
Put it that way.
Wow.
But then Sunday, I had to bartend. Actually, I had to run the event for the catering company for Wolfgang Puck for the Video Game Awards.
Mm-hmm.
So that was actually pretty cool. I had like 18 people working beneath me that I was like in charge of. And it was my first time being in charge at one of these events.
Really?
And I got paid double to do it. I had to do absolutely no work. I was schmoozing with Neil Patrick Harris, who's Doogie Howser.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I'm hanging out with Doogie Howser, Jack Black. He was absolutely hysterical. Kim Kardashian, 50 Cent, LL Cool J, Kiefer Sutherland.
Wow. All the who's who in Hollywood.
Everyone. Absolutely everyone. I'm forgetting like 20 people. I actually wrote it all down. I should probably go get it during a break because it was just so much fun. It was unbelievable.
Really?
Yes, yes.
Wow. Amazing. So, I mean, can you talk about it at all?
Yeah.
Because I know before you couldn't talk about it. Oh, that was the...
That was the Scientology thing, and I had to sign, like, non-disclosure shit for that.
Right.
I talked about it anyway. Yeah.
So did you talk to most of them?
Yeah.
Really?
I was out, like, hanging out with
all these people. You just mingled and schmoozed and stuff?
I had nothing. Like, I was in charge of all the people that were, like, making the drinks and...
And how did you wind up in that position all of a sudden?
Well, I'm kind of friends with the woman who owns the catering company, and I've been there for a year and a half now, and she knows... Like, all the feedback that people get from that work with me, always, like, ridiculously high praise.
Really?
I'm fucking good at bartending and schmoozing and just, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And I'm always very responsible. I'm always there on time, and she just knows I'm a very good worker, so she asked me to do that. But it was kind of a fuck-up from the start. You know, all the people, my entire crew, all 18 people, showed up in white shirts and black ties. They were supposed to be in black shirts. And so
really?
The little gay man from Wolfgang Puck, Mitch, he's like, oh my God, Susie, you have got to get, and the company's called Total Success. He's like, total failure, Susie. This is not a total success. Oh my God, your whole team. What are we going to do? Oh, fuck. And I was like, Mitch, don't worry about it. I'm on it. So I call Helena and I'm like, Helena, I was like, I need 18 black shirts stat. You know, I need like 6 medium. I need 4 of these. Da, 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 da. And so, you know what I mean? Right.
So how did everybody wind up with a white shirt? Somebody must have told them.
Actually, people printed out their email, their directions and everything, and they actually showed me it did say white shirt. So it was a mistake on the part of the company.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that was like a fuck up from the start. But it ended up actually going off really well.
Really?
And I got an exceptional letter written to my boss about my wonderful, wonderful, wonderful skills.
Wow,
yes,
Susie.
Yes, I was very excited.
Yeah, you're a natural for that kind of stuff.
I know. It was weird because I'm telling you, like, this is actually really bad. Did I tell you about the Valentine's Day where I was waiting tables at the Getty?
No.
Okay, this one guy got fired for it, but the people were absolutely awful. I mean, we had like a quartet, a string quartet that was there, like playing, you know, wonderful Brandenburg Concerto shit. Mm-hmm. Everyone was in like evening gowns and like, you know, tuxedos, and everyone had like their little date. So this guy John and I decided we were going to one up each other, and so like first I dropped like a champagne glass, shatters on the floor. Oops! Oh, I'm so sorry. Like I'll be right back. I'm going to clean that up. Next thing you know, he drops an entire tray of food and, like, spills it all over the floor. And he's like, oh, God, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm going to go clean that up. Next thing you know, he dumps a glass of red wine on this woman's dress.
Whoa.
And we were just being so immature and just fucking up everything purposely.
Really?
Just for purposely. Our own amusement.
That takes a lot of balls to do that.
You have no idea.
To spill a glass on a woman?
Well, wow. She deserved it. She was a total bitch, and she was so mean to my friend John. She was like, excuse me, can I please get the... I mean, she was just really fucking
rude. So she must have known he did it on purpose, but there's nothing she could
do. There's nothing... You can't prove that.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. So, like, the finale was, like, standing at the front. He, like, drops an entire tray with, like, 16, like, full champagne flutes on it. And they all just go shattering to the ground. Oh, man.
And this was at the Getty?
This was at the Getty. Yes, yeah. Yes.
Wow.
And another time, it's just funny that I have, like, managerial responsibilities now, you know what I mean? Because another time, like, we were at a picnic that we were, you know, all just kind of, like, working the event. Mm-hmm. And so I took the hot dogs, and I was, like, slapping myself in the mouth with, like, the hot dog when the clients weren't looking. Just to make the people on my team laugh. And, like, a couple Hispanic people walked up, and I was like, meat stick? Meat stick, and I'd like throw the meat stick on their plate, and they like didn't know what I was talking about. But I don't know,
meat stick,
but meat stick. I just turn around and slap myself in the mouth with it, like, oh yeah.
I know hot dogs look obscene. You know
they are so obscene.
Yeah,
actually, DJ, the woman that I was nannying for this weekend, she has this picture. We were going through old pictures of hers, and she's got this little 2-year-old kid. Little girl at Disneyland eating like a foot long corn dog. Uh-huh. And she's just got the whole thing like wedged in her mouth. Uh-huh. And it's just like, oh my God.
I know.
Really?
It looks terrible.
Really? I mean, this kid. Poor kid. It's like that picture needs to be destroyed.
Yeah.
Oh man. Well, and kids just have no idea that they look like they're deep throating the corn dog.
Yeah.
So
they should outlaw corn dogs for kids.
Corn dogs for kids, they should just, not have. Anything that is phallic-like, it's just wrong.
It seems like everything's fucking phallic, even our buildings downtown, you know?
Oh, man,
Everything's phallic around here.
Everything's phallic.
Yeah. So, okay, so you saw, like, 50 Cent? Did you talk to him?
No, I didn't talk to him.
Yeah. What did he look like? Like, very black. Scary?
Yes, I'm actually not a big fan of his music.
Yeah.
Weezer was there. I liked them. They were really good. Yeah, it was just really cool. But
so what kind of a party was it for?
The Video Game Awards.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay.
It was actually such an amazing show. Like, it seriously was just so amazing, the way they pulled this off. I mean, I've been mm-hmm. to a ton of these award shows and things like that, and nothing was like this. David Hasselhoff, I met him.
Oh, really?
Yep. Wow. He is drunk.
No big deal there, but still, I mean, he's famous.
I know.
What did he seem? Was he drinking?
He was drinking.
Really?
Yes.
So he's still
Everyone
got problems.
Everyone was drinking at this thing.
So he's got problems. Did you ever see the video with him and his daughter?
Oh, no.
His daughter took a picture of him totally fucking drunk, eating like a Burger King or something. And that guy is slurring, and he's like, I mean, you can probably find it on YouTube, but this is like so fucking pathetic.
Oh.
When you see his little girl videotaping him being so fucked up.
Oh, and she like put it on the, she put it out there?
So, no, she didn't, but somehow it got on the air, you know. I mean, TV stations were showing it and everything.
Oh, that's so bad.
I know.
Sad, too.
So he shouldn't be drinking.
Oof, sounds like it.
Yeah.
Actually, speaking of things that are on the news, did you see President Bush get the shoes thrown at him?
I didn't, but I read about it. Was that funny? I still haven't seen the video.
Oh, my God. It's absolutely hysterical.
Really?
Because Andrea, the other woman I nanny for yesterday, actually, was the one that told me about it. And she's like, you got to watch this. And she brought it up on YouTube. And he's got, like, cat-like reflexes as he, like, dodges the fucking shoe, like,
really?
One after the other.
They threw more than one?
Two.
Two shoes.
The guy got both shoes launched at the president's head.
Did he hit him?
No.
Neither one?
Neither one.
Wow.
I'm telling you, like, and this was so funny because Bush was up and he's standing there and he's talking and then he looks at, like, someone to his left. All of a sudden, like, the shoe comes flying at his head. And all of a sudden, like, at the last second, he just ditches. He's like, wah! You know, and then all of a sudden he's up, and then he smiles, and then all of a sudden the
probably
other shoe
didn't know what the fuck hit him,
getting hucked at his head.
Wow!
Oh my god!
I know those Arabs. I'm telling you, man.
And apparently that's like the worst insult ever. Is having a shoe thrown at you.
It is. Well, actually, you know, back in the '60s, Khrushchev from Russia started banging his shoe on the table at the UN.
Why?
Yeah, because banging it's it? Always yeah because it, like you said, it's like supposed to be an insult.
But why would he do that?
I don't remember the exact incident, but obviously he wasn't very happy.
Oh, no. That's so bad.
So, yeah. I mean, this is so appropriate for Bush to get a couple shoes thrown at him, you know? I mean, he's so fucking weird anyway, you know?
But that was, like, the funniest thing, because he literally stood up after the first shoe, and he just had that dumb, goofy smile on his face, and he's like, huh?
That's funny. Let's take just a short break, okay? And I need to get some water, and we'll be back right after this.
The Radio Shopping Club.
And welcome back to the Radio Shopping Club. I'm your host, David. You know, you see a lot of TV ads selling stuff commemorating the election of Barack Obama. Well, here at RSC, we have the most coveted, the rarest, most sought after Barack Obama item ever. It is the RSC Barack Obama Senate seat. Yes. Now you can own all the power, the prestige, and I guess a little bit of the responsibility that goes with representing the people of Illinois in the United States Senate. I mean, you know. Now, how much would you be willing to pay for this unique item? Well, as a famous indicted governor once said, quote, it's a expletive deleted. Valuable thing. You just don't give it away for nothing. That's what he said. All right. Well, of course you don't. But at RSC, we promise it will be a great value. Just tell us what you're willing to pay for it. Now, here's a hint. Better be at least six figures. That's the RSC Barack Obama Senate seat. Call now. Operators and FBI agents are standing by.
RSC, the Radio Shopping Club.
If you're fed up with lame, uninspired talk radio, tune in to LA Talk Radio. Forever entertaining and cool talk. You're listening to the best morning show on internet radio. It's Sam and Susie in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
It's Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
All right, so we're going to call our authors. I think there's two of them, actually.
I love this book. And look, there's a Canadian beaver on the front.
I know. And it's controlling the
it's like a puppet.
Eagle,
it's
right?
A puppet,
like
master.
A puppet, right.
Yes.
Yes.
What a great little cover.
Wow. Like it's moving the U.S.
Beaver, I make you into a vest. I wear you like a hat.
All right. So we're going to give them a call. And I have a feeling they're like in
Seattle.
Seattle, right?
Yes.
Can you tell by the area code?
No, it said that they're in Seattle on the sheet.
Yeah, I could tell by the area code. You know, I used to be a telephone operator, so I know all the area codes.
You were a telephone operator?
Yeah, I'll have to tell you about it when I was 20. Yes, good morning. We're calling, Carrie and Rob.
That's us.
Oh, that's you. Okay.
Yeah, both of us.
Good morning to you. This is Sam and Susie in the Morning calling you from L.A. How are you guys doing this morning?
We're good. How are you?
Good. This is refreshing to have two authors at the same time. We never had that before.
I know.
This is amazing.
We're married to each other.
Oh, well, that's simple.
You get us both. We're a package deal.
Yes.
So when you guys got married, because I really want to be a Canadian, it's like my favorite place in the world, do you get dual citizenship in both countries?
Well, the funny thing is, in Canada, yeah, if we lived in Canada, Carrie could become a Canadian citizen, and we would be considered dual. The state doesn't really recognize dual citizenship, so you're in the states, you're pretty much American.
Yeah, you have to choose in the states.
You have to choose in the states, whereas Canada lets you do both.
I would pick Canadian.
So yeah. So, Rob, are you Canadian then?
Yes, I'm the Canadian of the two.
I see, okay. And so obviously you qualified to write the book, The U.S. of E. And this is
amazing title. Amazing, yes. I love it.
Yeah. First of all, we figured out you guys are in Seattle, right?
We are.
That's right.
Is this where you lived most of your lives?
Well, I was born and raised in Edmonton, Alberta, in Canada. So I and I've spent I've spent the last 15 years sort of moving up and down the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm from Washington State, so I've pretty much lived near here.
So you're practically a Canadian.
Yeah.
Exactly. We like the proximity to the border.
Yeah. And how did you guys meet?
We actually met in San Francisco. We were both living in San Francisco at the time, and like most people, like Susie, you know, I was fascinated with all things Canadian. So once he said oot in a boat, I was hooked.
Oh, so true, so true.
Well, this is amazing.
It's irresistible.
Yeah, this is funny. Now, what I wanted to ask is this: you guys claim that Canada really controls the U.S., or I don't know if that's too strong a word. How would you describe it?
Oh, no, we
well, that's what we're claiming.
We're claiming that Canada is the boss of you, basically. You just don't know it.
Right. So now give us an example why you would say something like this and write an entire book about it.
Well, you know, Canada doesn't do anything showy. You know, another country, if they wanted to be in charge, would do something, you know, big and obvious. But Canada has very cleverly just figured out how to influence all aspects of American culture, music, movies, household products, food, sports, and it just does it all from up north, where Canada can enjoy, you know, a nice, spacious country, and everybody loves them, and meanwhile, they get to, you know, be the power broker that nobody knows about.
Right, and if something goes wrong in the world, you know, people point fingers, they point fingers to the States, not to Canada.
Right.
Ah,
right.
So yeah. Sneaky.
It's yeah. Genius, really.
I know, sometimes we take Canada for granted, because so many things in there are really just like we have here, like, you know, store chains and things like that. But I think it is the other way around when you start thinking about it. Now, this is obviously not an organized attempt or anything, but you're just saying that Canadians have really gotten involved in our lives. Right?
That's right. I mean, we say your household might be up to 70% Canadian, and you don't even know it.
Wow.
In what way, so, for example? Can you describe that quickly?
Sure, sure. I mean, just, you know, everyday products around your house. I mean, everything from the zipper to the plastic garbage bag to the macaroni and cheese you might have for dinner, that was all invented in Canada.
Light bulbs.
Jeez.
The light bulb, the telephone, I mean, those are a couple of big ones. And the BlackBerry, which so many Americans are addicted to, was placed on this earth by Canada and is a great way to control Americans.
Uh-huh.
And,
Canadian bacon.
Yeah, Canadian bacon.
Controls our house.
That's cool.
But, you know, so there's just so many things that you go throughout the day assuming it's an American thing. But
right.
it's, you know, our book really explains that a lot of it is Canadian.
Right. Now, I always wondered, is Canada considered to be like a split personality because it's got the French side and the English side to it? Or do they seem to get along pretty well?
Well, you know, as the world goes, you know, that you can, the news sort of talks about them, you know, fighting, you know, like a brother and sister, you know, fighting back and forth a little bit about who gets to play with the toy first. But for the most part, I think they've gotten along nicely over the last couple hundred years, and I trust it's going to continue.
Right. Except they really don't have then a national language. They have two.
Yeah, they do, and I mean, the interesting thing with sort of the melting pot that is Canada versus sort of the assimilation that is the States is Canada really embraces. I mean, you go to Vancouver, and there are, you know, a bunch of different languages that you would almost think are sort of like local dialects that people speak, and it is. I mean, they don't. I mean, English and French are their national. They're two national languages, but there are so many other ones that have come to play just with the immigration that we've.
Oh,
they're very accepting, Canadians. They don't try to make it all, you know, my way or the highway.
Yes, yes. And I know a lot of people from certain countries tend to go to Canada a lot. Like, for example, I know a big South African community there, like in Toronto and and these places. And I know people come from, they sort of bring their families and their friends with them, you know.
Vancouver has a lot of Indian people, too.
Really?
Yes.
Very a lot of Indian, a lot of Asian Pacific Rim people as well come in. Yeah, and my brother used to work out in the prairies out in Saskatchewan, and he ran into, you know, tons of South Africans. It was amazing how many people sort of came into central Canada.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing.
I think people get up there and realize, you know, it's pretty sweet up here.
Yeah, it really is.
My girlfriend Rochelle is a Canadian, and I was pulling into a parking lot, and it was like packed full of like all these Asian people. And there was this woman like backing out of the spot, and Rochelle was like, stop. And I was like, what? She said, there's a DWA. And I was like, what's that mean? She's like, driving while Asian.
Okay, well,
I was like, oh, no.
Anyway, so they do have a lot of people there and stuff. But what I wanted to ask, another thing about Canada is, are they more welcoming as far as immigration than the United States, would you say? Do they have immigration problems?
They do. I mean, because, you know, again, lots of people want to move there, and just like, you know, just like the States, just like any country, they have, you know, they have their rules. I think it has been tighter. It has been looser at times, but, you know, much the same way they try to open their arms as much as they can. But yeah. You know, they're busy focused on trying to run the States, so right. You know, they've got to pay attention to that as well.
That's right. Well, and you know, during election time in the States, you always hear people say, well, you know, if it doesn't go my way, I'm moving to Canada.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think around election time, the borders get a little bit tighter.
Yeah, I suppose.
They don't
want
everybody to flee and come up there. It'd be a little too crowded for their liking.
It's so weird. I always had like this, you know, this terrible understanding about Canada before I started dating a guy from Vancouver. And I was like, you guys have electricity and internet access in Canada?
You don't live in igloos?
I seriously, I just had never really thought about it. And I just kind of assumed that it was like another life form, like a way of life up in Canada.
And that's very common for people in the States. And, you know, that's what we're saying is really something Canada did on purpose. You know, they promoted themselves as being this cold wasteland. Yeah, everybody's in igloos. There's no reason to come and visit. Mm-hmm. And therefore, everyone came to the States. And the States is all crowded and stressful, and up there they've got lots of breathing room and natural resources and peaceful place to live.
Definitely,
yes.
And they are considered peaceful people. You know, nobody really hates them in any or anything. You know, so they kind of low profile. Right?
They would never have like terrorist attacks or anything. Like, no one would care enough to like.
Yeah,
you know?
Why bother?
Yeah, exactly.
It's such a smart position for them to be in when you think about it.
Yeah. Mm. You know what I'm curious about is what is the population in Canada? How many people?
It's about 35 million right now. I think it's about usually runs for about one tenth of the United States.
Oh, 35 million.
And
that's not
bigger.
A lot. Yeah. That's it. Yeah, so they've got a lot more land than we do.
Mm. And, you know, you're one of the few Americans that actually knows that. You know, most Americans are used to seeing these maps, you know, from their grade school days.
Canada gets cut off.
Yes, Canada's either cut off or it looks remarkably small.
Well, it looks like an ocean.
Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah, this is funny. Well, you guys have been very, very entertaining and very informative. The book is called The U.S. of A. What's the subtitle on there, Susie?
How Canada Secretly Controls the United States and Why That's Okay.
Yeah, well, you have the word control right there on the cover, so I wasn't wrong.
That's right.
Thank you so much for the book and for the interview. We really appreciate that. And
it was fun.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Good luck with the book. It's easy reading. It's a small book, and it's written in a very light manner, and I really enjoyed it. So
I'm bringing it,
I'm bringing it on the airplane tomorrow.
Oh, it's a great airplane book. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, Carrie and Rob, thank you so much again, and all the best to you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, I
love Canada and Canadians.
Okay,
really,
but you
do.
Made a fucking racial joke right on the fucking air in the interview. Everybody was just silent, Susie.
Oh, no.
And you're fucking...
I'm sorry. Oh, Jenny,
man, I was sitting here. I was like ready to fucking hide under the desk.
Why?
You embarrassed the shit out of me, Susie. I mean, these people, you know, you don't do racial jokes on people that don't expect it, you know?
Why not? It's a shocker.
Driving while Asian. I mean,
DWA.
They were just stunned, Susie. They were stunned.
Oh, no. Well, I guess they need to check the archives before they come on our show.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, look, if we don't treat them with respect, nobody's going to come on the show, you know? I mean, we do have different sides to us. You know.
Yes, okay.
And that's it. And you just forgot that you brought in one of your stories right there where it didn't belong.
We've been off the air for like 3 days. I forgot.
I know.
I forgot how to talk.
Yeah,
oh,
but they were fun. They're
yeah,
really
they
an
really
entertaining
are.
Couple and stuff. And you know, it's cool to write a book together and stuff, you know?
I wanted to ask them where the term Canuck came from.
Isn't Canucks like an animal or something?
I don't know.
No? I don't know. But
maybe because it's the hockey team, the Canucks.
Right, in Vancouver, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know how people have like a mascot or something?
Right,
Maybe it is an animal.
Yeah, maybe it is, or some kind of a, I don't know what it is, but yeah, just like we have, you know, the Eagles and, you know, all this stuff, all the football names, and
yes,
well, all the sports names for that matter. You know, so so that was cool.
Definitely.
Yeah, and so tell us a little bit about. I don't know. You said you had a wild weekend. What else did you do?
Well,
what did you do Saturday?
I worked.
Oh, you
I
worked
went
Saturday.
Straight from one job in Orange County after being on duty for 48 hours directly to Malibu, and where I worked until 4 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to Lane's house and got fucked until the next morning, and then woke up and went to the video game awards.
Mm.
And actually, Lane got mad at me because we had made tentative plans to get back together after I was finished with the video game awards.
Mm-hmm.
But so here I am at the video game awards, you know, getting a little bit drunk with these people, schmoozing, getting paid a lot of money to be doing this too. It was great. And all of a sudden I'm handing out my business cards for the show.
Really?
I'm telling everyone all about the show. Da 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 da. And everyone's like, really? We're gonna have to check that show out. That sounds really cool. And so then a couple of my staff people are like, hey, why don't you come out and we'll have drinks afterwards? And I'm like, all right. So I went down the street to the bar with a couple people, and then I had a couple drinks. I have a whole bunch of guests that are going to be coming on when I get back.
Really?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
They're all very excited for the show. And then, so I continued to get a little bit drunk, playing shuffleboard and things like that. And then this other guy, Eric, and his friends that were part of the production team of this video game award sent me a text, and they're like, we're down in Hermosa Beach. Come meet up with us for drinks.
Uh-huh.
It's like, okay.
Everybody wants Susie for drinks.
I know. I had to spread myself pretty thin this weekend. It was very difficult, but, you know, I managed.
Yeah.
So I drive.
I guess you were happy drunk, and people like that, huh?
I'm very happy drunk. I'm so much fun. I'm the life of the party. So I drive down to Hermosa Beach, and I go to meet up with these other guys, and so we're dancing, and I'm drunk, and I'm dancing, and I'm like, I think this girl actually made out with me, if I remember correctly.
Really?
Yeah, because she was standing, like, she was table dancing, and I was dancing, like, beneath her.
What do you mean, you think?
Okay, she made out with me.
She made out with you?
Yes.
And you saying this just like it was nothing?
Well.
Okay.
I didn't,
so
like,
let's hear
I,
about
I didn't
it.
Really want it. I wasn't really. I guess my move said otherwise, that I was inviting it. Yeah. I was just dancing in front of her. I didn't really pay attention to the fact that she was, like, dancing with her crotch, like, right head level,
uh-huh.
like with me.
Really?
Yes. And next thing you know, I look up and she bends down and just, like, sticks her tongue in my mouth. And I'm like, hi.
Wow.
Ooh, okay. All right, this is pretty random.
Wow.
So,
she must be, like, an experienced lesbian or something, you know?
I used to do that back in my heyday.
Did you?
Back when I was really wild and crazy.
Yeah, it's obviously not, like, a normal girl that experiments, you know?
No.
Yeah.
But so, then, this kind of annoys me, and this made...
Sorry, I didn't mean normal, I meant straight.
Oh, it's okay.
Okay.
I know what you mean. But this kind of annoys me. So I'm dancing, you know, the same way I always dance, which I guess is pretty provocative and pretty slutty. But I actually was wearing my pajamas. I told the guys, I was like, listen, I'm not wearing my monkey suit that I've been wearing all night, and I only have, like, pajamas in my car. So if you don't mind, I'm going to come in my pajamas out of this nightclub, okay?
Uh-huh.
And so he was just like, whatever. So I'm dancing, like, super, super sexy in my little pajamas. And the guy, like, kept trying to, like, grab me.
Uh-huh.
Like, grab my ass. And I was just kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he was like, can I get you a couple more drinks? And I was like, well, I have to drive home. And he's like, no, you can stay with us. We've got a nice house down the street. And I was like, all right. I was like, but I'm just letting you know in advance, I'm not sleeping with you.
Really?
Yes.
You told him that?
And he's like, come on, I've seen the way you dance. He's like, you know you're gonna. And I was like,
yeah.
No. He's like, well, maybe we could just fool around and do, like, some light petting. And I was like, no. And he said, because you know what? I have self-control. He's like, you know what? I think once I stick my finger in your pussy, you're just gonna want to fuck me.
Yeah.
And, like,
oh, yeah.
And I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no. You can't fuck me. And I was like, dude, I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to fuck you.
Mm.
You know, I'm not going to. I don't care. I'm not going to fool around. I don't want your finger in my crotch. No. So I was like, but yes, you could buy me another drink. And then, yes, I'll go back to your friend's house because I'm too drunk to drive back home anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So we end up going back to his house, actually his friend's house, where we were, I don't know, stoned and drinking and singing karaoke at the house.
Really?
Until like 3 or 4 in the morning. And then I was like, once I get stoned, I'm like, out. I got to go to bed.
Yeah.
Susie is no more. And so I asked the guy. I was
but
like,
alcohol right. doesn't do it to you. Just getting stoned?
Well, if I drink enough alcohol.
Yeah.
And I had had a nice sampling that evening.
Mm-hmm.
Started off with some beer and then moved on to wine and then vodka and then back to beer again.
Yeah.
So I had a nice little mix going on. But so I'm like, all right, which room am I staying in? He's like, all right, you and Justin are sleeping in that room. I'm like, all right, fine. You know, I don't mind, like, sleeping in the same bed with the guy. I get in bed with the fucking guy, and he's, like, on top of me. And, like,
but wait a minute. What were you thinking getting into bed with this guy?
Because I wanted a bed. I was drunk. I knew, like, I told them I wanted a place to stay. And, like, you know, I obviously knew I was going to be sleeping in the bed with one of the two of them.
Right.
And that's why I told him. I was like, I'm not going to sleep with you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to fuck that
man. So you get into bed with a guy, he's going to want to fuck you.
Well,
okay,
but
so
that's why I told him from the start. I was like, no.
Yeah.
So he gets
but
on top of
me. For some guys,
me.
No means yes.
Well, apparently this was one of those guys.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I was like, I had my hand over my vagina, like I had my hand over my boobs, and he was just like latching on and just like groping me.
Wow.
And
that's
like,
attempted rape, Susie.
I'm like, dude, I'm like, back off. I was like, I'm not fucking you. I don't want to fool around with you. And he's like smearing his like yucky lips on my neck. And I'm like, ugh. And I like grab him by his hair and I was like, off.
Really?
Yes. And so then it was fine. You know, I passed out and he passed out. And then I wake up the next morning. He's on top of me again.
Wow.
He won't fucking stop. And he's like really like trying to like tear my clothes off.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never missed Lane so much in my life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was just like, you know what? I have someone like who like, you know, cares about me and is respectful of me. And like for the longest time, I was like, you know, I'm not ready. I want to take it slow. I don't really want to have sex on the first date.
Yeah.
Let's wait till the second.
Yeah.
but you know what I mean? It's just so nice to have someone that respects you and like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I know,
some guys are really fucking dogs. Susie, that's attempted rape. It really is. If you had to sit there and fight him off and say no, 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 that's attempted rape.
I don't think it's like that bad.
Why?
I don't know.
I'm telling you. I mean, you know, if you have a case, that's all I can...
I think most guys, it's just very aggressive and very persistent.
Yeah, but he put you on, you know, he did things against your will that have to do with...
He tried to.
Sex. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's attempted rape. You know?
Interesting.
Yeah. He was forcing himself on you several times.
Wow.
You know? Yeah. But you know what? You'd go to court and they'd blame you for leading him on. You know, why did you get into bed with him?
Yeah.
You know? But although that's not an excuse because they'd still say, because I guess, you know, even if you're having sex, if at any time during it you say no, stop, they've got to stop. Otherwise, you know, it's rape.
You know what I always like to say? Or no, there's this little joke. About like, you know, oh, well, she said, don't stop.
Yeah.
Don't stop.
Don't stop.
No, don't. Stop. You know, she's saying stop.
Yeah.
You know, no, uh-huh. Don't. And, but it's like, no, she said, don't stop.
Don't stop. So
don't
I'm going to keep going, yeah? Oh, all right, man. I need to give my voice a little break here. We'll be back right after this.
It's America's number one movie starring America's worst actor, Keanu Reeves in... The day the face stood still.
You should let me go.
And you should maybe move your eyebrows or grimace or twitch your nose. I mean, is this some kind of minimalistic acting process? I mean, I don't get it. I don't get it.
Keanu Reeves in The Day the Face Stood Still. Now showing no emotion.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
I felt high.
and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
Okay, so if you want to know how much they love us in Iraq...
We have listeners in Iraq?
No.
Oh.
This is from the news.
Okay.
But it says that Iraqis take to the street to back shoe thrower. So they're happy with that, you see? And
the shoe thrower.
I got to tell you, we're never going to have friends with the Arabs. It just doesn't work that way. We're so different.
They're such scary people for the most part.
Yeah, because they like violence a lot.
They really, like, they, if you think, they, it, oh man, I don't know, yeah. Just like the thought of them, I just get scared.
Yeah. Well, obviously not all of them are like that, but for the most part, they don't like the Western world, you know? And for us to think that we're actually wanted there is a joke, you know? We need to be out of there as soon as possible.
How is that going to work? What's Obama going to do?
I don't know. I don't know what he's going to do. But you see, the problem with it is once you leave...
We can't just go there and just, like, you know, make this big mess and then just leave.
Right, right. You know? And that's the problem. But we never had an exit strategy, and that's why we're stuck there now. But the thing is, yes, I mean, we'd love to have the troops come back, but if we leave, there's a vacuum there.
Yeah.
And, you know, for the most part, it's going to be ugly. You know, you're going to get a lot of terrorist groups and shit. So, you know, what are you going to do? But it's not an answer to stay there forever either.
Yeah.
You know?
It's so weird.
Yeah.
Actually, I just got a text message yesterday from this guy, Sergeant Mora. He was my platoon sergeant when I was in the military police company.
Oh,
and
nice.
He lives in Boston. And so he's like, Suze, he's like, I really miss you. He's like, I miss hearing all your crazy stories. I'm like, well, you can tune in at www.latalkradio.com.
They're documented.
For all of eternity. And he's like, you know what? He's like, I just looked at my mileage for like my frequent flyer miles. And he's like, I think I want to come visit you. And I'm like, all right, cool. But so I'm actually going to meet up with him in New York City over Christmas.
Nice.
Yeah, take him out. He's never been to Manhattan. So I'm going to take him out and show him a good time.
Nice.
But
have you guys been in touch all this time, or how did he find you?
Randomly. Really? You know, Facebook, MySpace. He'll randomly just send me messages. But it's funny because he is the one person in my life, the only person that has ever denied me sex.
Really?
Yes.
Is he gay?
No.
Oh.
He's just... okay, basically, when I was in the military police company, there were very, very, very few women. And, like, the women that were in this company, they had all fucked, like, all the guys.
Really?
I mean, I'm telling you, as soon as I showed up, the very first day I walked into that company, all the men were just like... fresh. And it wasn't even fresh that I was meat. Like cute or whatever. It was like fresh meat.
Yes,
we've got a new pussy that like hasn't been like fucked like multiple times by every man in this company. But so I actually didn't hook up with anyone in that entire company, and it drove them all nuts. You know, they were just like kind of freaking out about it. But Sergeant Mora and I became like pretty good friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then one night he came over to my apartment, and like we were drinking and getting drunk, and I was like, okay, I kind of have a crush on you. And he's like, oh, really? Okay. And so I start making out with him, and he made out with me, and that was fine. And then I like lure him into my bedroom, you know, totally lure this poor guy in. And he's so nice and so sweet. And I get him in my bed, and all of a sudden I was like, fuck me, please.
Really?
Oh, please, Sergeant Mora. And he's like, no. He's like, I can't do it. I was like, what? Like, my pussy is throbbing here, waiting to be penetrated. And no. I was like, no one says no to me.
Yeah.
I was so mad and, like, so pissed off about it. I was like, fine, then leave. I was like, get out of here.
Really?
Yes. And I've told him, like, I keep telling him, I'm like, to this day, you are the only man that has ever denied me.
Wow. And did you find out why?
You know, I think it's because, you know, he liked me on a certain level, and like he didn't want to just like fuck me.
Yeah.
You know, I think he wanted it to either be something more or just keep it as friends, you know, because he knew the kind of girl that I was and how, right. You know, I wouldn't really keep him around.
Yeah. See, there's some good men still around, right?
There, you know, no, there definitely are.
Yeah.
Not like that one guy.
You seem to be finding them now, which is cool.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm really excited.
For a while, you had a drought of decent people there.
Yes, but no longer. The well is full. Oh, man.
So so you invited someone here. Are they coming in, or what's going on?
Well, hold on. Let's talk about guests for a minute. So basically, on Sunday night, after the awards, when I was at the little hole-in-the-wall bar,
right.
Called The Cozy, like cash only, like total hole-in-the-wall. It's awesome, like pool table, shuffleboard.
But that's not where the chick stuck her tongue. down your throat?
No, that was in Hermosa Beach.
Okay. So you went to two places.
Yes, I was in Culver City and then Hermosa Beach and then Gardena. I was actually in three different places that night.
Yeah. Gardena.
Gardena?
Yeah.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Anyway. So this gorgeous, gorgeous woman like walks in, and I'd recognized her from the award ceremony. I mean, she's half black and half Korean, but she's just stunning, like her facial features and her hair, and I was just like, wow. And so she and her date walked into the little bar.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went up to her, and I was like, you are just absolutely gorgeous. I saw you at the awards, and, you know, we started talking. And so she's a publicist. And so one of her clients wrote a book, a Jewish book, another Jew book.
Another Jew book.
And I was like, this is great. I was like, I need to have this woman like on the show. And this Jew will talk about sex.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
But so anyway, she was supposed to come in today. The two of them were actually supposed to come in together. But then I told them yesterday, I was like, you know what? I'm not sure how Sam's feeling. You know, he canceled the show today. So why don't we just put it on hold and we'll play it by ear?
Okay.
And so then I didn't hear back from her after that. And then she had called me from her phone number, but it was one of those ones where you have to have an extension, so when I call back...
Right, you didn't know what extension...
I didn't know what extension was, and I don't know her last name, so...
So she probably won't show up.
I don't think they're going to show up today, but but so last night, I was at the father's office. I was so drunk last night, Sam.
Yeah.
Oh, I was celebrating my student loans getting paid off.
Oh, I see.
It started...
Always a reason for celebration.
It started at work up in Malibu. So I decided to have a celebratory bottle of wine to my head. And, you know, so I started getting a little drunk up there. And then I hadn't eaten much and I hadn't slept much. So, I mean, if you compound all those factors, that makes for a very drunk Susie right from the beginning.
Yeah.
So then I run back to my house really quickly because... Lane hadn't called me all day. I was so sad. And it turns out he was like, you didn't call me last night. You were supposed to come over. He's like, this was your punishment. Because I called him like 5 times. And I was like, call me back. You know, I'm up in Malibu. Like, I want to see you. Call me back. Call me back. Nothing, nothing, nothing. So I'm like, he hates me. I ruined it. Oh, no. Yeah. But so he finally called me back. And I realized that he was punishing me for going out with the other people the other night.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. He's going to have to get used to it. You see, now he's starting. Now that he got his pussy and everything, now he's going to have to deal with reality, which is Susie.
Oh, come on now.
And that means Susie does whatever she wants. And if he doesn't get used to it, he's going to leave you very quickly.
Well, you know what?
You're going to get really
upset. He could have called me too. You know what I mean? I actually kind of stayed in Culver City and went to that little hole in the wall bar because it's right up the street from his house, and he was having dinner with his family. And I was like, all right, when he's done, maybe he'll call me. Mm-hmm. Why did I have to call him?
Right.
So it was a two-way street, I think.
So you were both playing games?
Both playing games.
Oh, okay.
And we were both waiting to see if the other one would call. And we were both just like, all right, if he's not calling, I'm not calling. If she's not calling, I'm not calling.
Yeah.
But so anyway, I'm really drunk last night. I leave work and I go home to shower really quickly and change. And then I go to meet Lane and Seamus at the bar. The father's office. It's a cool place. Seamus works there. I got in trouble a couple of times for... I don't know, doing things that I probably shouldn't have done. But I was, like, blacked out drunk when I walked in there.
Really?
I was, like, stumbling. I was bad.
Wow.
Oh, man.
And you drank some more?
I drank some more.
Wow.
But Lane was like...
You have, like, no limit, right?
No limit.
Until you pass out.
Until I pass out.
Yeah.
But Lane is so good. Like, he just looks out for me. He's like, Susie, he's like, have you eaten anything today? And I was like, shit, I knew I forgot something. And he's like, let me get you a menu and let me order you something for dinner. I'm like... Thank you. That's so sweet of you. Oh. So while we're out there, we're at this restaurant, we're having dinner and drinks, and then we go outside to have a cigarette, and I'm standing there having a cigarette, and this girl was like, you're gypsy. And I was like, who are you? How do you know that? Like, I was wearing this coat, like, you can't see my tattoo. And she's like, she's like, I'm Lucia's friend. We met at a party in Venice. And she's like, I saw that gypsy tattoo of yours, and I remember you were telling me about your radio show, and da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, no way. It was like, so nice to see you again, even though I really didn't remember meeting her.
Yeah.
So anyway, she lives right up the street, and she told me that she was going to come in today and be the guest, because that was right when you sent me the email being like, fuck, Susie, you know, I had a guest scheduled and I canceled because you said you were bringing a guest.
Well, that's not that. You see, you read it in a different tone. That's what I don't like about email.
You know, can't have like a tone.
Yeah. Yeah, I was definitely not angry or anything. I just, you know, I just told you, please let me know in advance, you know, because otherwise we have to bump other guests or whatever, you know.
Yeah. Canadian eh.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if she's going to be coming in or not. You know what I mean? I forget after that if I gave her the address of the studio. I think I did.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't
Probably
know.
Probably not.
Maybe. But anyway, regardless, tomorrow we have an amazing call-in guest.
Oh, really?
Yes, it's an author.
Yeah?
So I'm going to do what you do to me and give you the book the day of.
but you have to arrange it at a different time from the usual offer.
Tell me what time you want
it to
be.
Well, we'll talk about it after. Okay. That. Doesn't matter.
But anyway, I want to plug this book. It's called The Holy G-Rail.
The Holy G-Rail?
Yes.
What is that?
How to find the G-spot, baby.
Oh, so it's like the Holy Grail.
Yes, but the Holy G-Rail. Yeah. Yes,
how to find the G-spot.
Yes.
Wow. And this guy knows?
Oh, he knows.
Yeah.
Like halfway through the book. It's a small, easy book like this to read. But he sent it to me. Actually, his publicist sent it to me last week.
Good. So you practice it with Lane and let us know if it works.
I will. But it was just really funny because when I was in Orange County this past weekend, mm-hmm. I'm trying to read this book, you know, at this kind of conservative Jewish household.
Right.
And like the father, he's a big corporate lawyer and very quiet man, you know what I mean? So him plus me in the room equals awkward silence or me just rambling on awkwardly because I don't know what else to do and I don't like things being quiet.
Yeah. Very unusual for Susie to be out of things to say.
Well, no, I didn't run out of things to say, but it's just like
you felt uncomfortable.
Well, when someone is like very quiet and they're just like looking at you and they ask you like a question and then like I answer the question, like I don't know what he's thinking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I wasn't getting any kind of like emotional response.
Don't you hate that?
Any kind of feedback. And so I said that to him. I was like, dude, I need some kind of like response from you.
Yeah.
Like, how are you feeling? What do you think of my stories? Do you think I'm nuts? Like, you know, do you care that I take care of your grandchild?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I was like, give me something.
Yeah.
And so he's like, you are the best witness I could ever ask to put on the stand. And I was like, what's that supposed to mean? He's like, because I ask one question and you...
Is he a lawyer?
He's a corporate lawyer, yeah.
Oh, okay. That's why he was behaving like that. They don't have a lot of personality.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, his wife has enough personality, like, for everyone.
Yeah, I'm sure.
She's so colorful and just so much
fun. But if someone
just
looks at you when you talk and they don't respond... It makes me uneasy. Yes. Because you think they're judging you. You don't know what the hell's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
This coffee top lid reminds me of like licking a clit.
Where the fuck did this come from?
I don't know. I just put my tongue in the hole and I thought, yeah.
Yeah?
And
then, you're licking a clit.
Like, seriously, because look, it goes in and out,
uh-huh.
and it's like a little button, and there's like a perfect little hole for my tongue. It just fits right in there. And you have to, like, gently, like, lick it and lap it up so you don't spill the coffee all over yourself.
Uh-huh. I love licking clits. I love it.
Maybe I'll get my pussy licked today.
Yeah.
That's what I should do.
Yeah. All you got to do is ask.
It's Tuesday. Why not?
Yeah. You know, I got to tell you this, though. Yesterday, I get up in the morning, and my wife goes, do you remember you played with me last night? And I said, you know what? I totally forgot, but now I remember. So I was half asleep.
Oh, no.
Yes. And I was playing around with her in the middle of the night.
That's the best.
Yeah, but I was half asleep. I don't know how I was even able to complete it, but but I did.
I really want you to...
Isn't that funny?
Yes. I really want you to stick your tongue in this. It's amazing.
Okay.
Oh, this is the best coffee cup lid ever.
McDonald's. Okay, yeah. So for the record, McDonald's coffee lids feel like lids.
Yes.
Okay, maybe they would like to know that, McDonald's.
Mm. Mm.
They'd sell more coffee for sure.
Yes, absolutely. So I want to tell you quickly again about the awards for the video game thing. It was so cute the way the whole thing started off. They put up on the video screen, it was Jack Black, and he had just gotten out of the shower, and so he's got his hair like in a towel and he's wearing like a robe and he's home alone for the day.
Uh-huh.
Like his wife and his son are like out or whatever, and then all of a sudden you see him, like he goes over to the bed and there's a PlayStation sitting on the bed with like the controllers and the cords.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, ooh, it's just you and me tonight. Oh baby. And he like crawls on the bed and he just like he spanks the PlayStation. And then like he pushes the eject button and he like starts like eating out the hole in the middle of like where you put the CD or the DVD thing.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, he's like fucking the PlayStation with like his dick through the hole.
Wow.
And then he grabs
and
the
this
cord.
This is all on the show?
Yes.
It's
and then
probably
he,
televised too, right?
Yes, it was. It was live. And so then he grabs the cord and he wraps the cord around his neck and he's like asphyxiating himself while he's like fucking like the other thing. It was absolutely hysterical. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Wow, I don't believe they did this on an awards show.
Yes.
You know, and it was probably all nerds, huh?
the audience.
You know what? I actually really liked the audience and all the people that were there.
Really?
I mean, all the women were like slutted out to the nines. It was fabulous. And all the guys were all wearing jeans, sneakers, a t-shirt, and a jacket.
Yeah.
Like the typical fucking, you know, I'm too cool for school, man. You know, I'm not going to wear like a suit. I'm going to fucking just wear my sneakers and my jeans and my jacket.
Yeah.
But just everyone had like the exact same look going on. So it was just kind of funny. But these are all geeks that just like sit on the couch and like play video games all day.
Yeah, they are.
But and I'm not a big video game person by any means.
Right.
But some of these video games that they had up there,
uh-huh.
they're amazing.
Are they though?
The graphics are fucking unreal.
Yeah. You see, I've been playing computer games for a few years, so I know what's going on. And, I mean, I'm not geeky enough to play on the PlayStation or the Xbox and stuff. But I play on the computer sometimes, only like shoot 'em up kind of games and stuff. But, yeah, I mean, I've witnessed it as it evolved, and it's amazing.
Oh, my God, it's unreal.
It really is, you know? And you know what you think of the graphics? You know what's really tricky is what they call the AI or the artificial intelligence. And that is how characters in the game react to you.
I know.
To the things you do. I mean, think of the fucking programming that goes behind this shit.
It's seriously, like, unbelievable.
You know?
I have a couple friends that are in the video game industry. Uh-huh. Actually, they're up in Canada. All the Canadians. But so, basically, people get burnt out from that industry very, very, very quickly. Because, I mean, you have to work, like, 18 hours
a
day.
Yeah, very long hours.
And it's very, very, very competitive. And you're constantly trying to, like, get out the next best game. And, you know, you just go, 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 go.
Yeah.
And people go until they literally, like, can't even fucking look at a video game anymore.
Really?
And they're just like, and then they burn out.
Yeah, you see, I used to work for a major video game company called Westwood Studios.
Okay.
They're in Las Vegas. I don't know where they are now. I think they sold to Vivendi or something, one of those. And but at any rate, so I worked there and I know what it's like, you know. And but I was on the, I was there doing the planning stages of a number one game called Command and Conquer. And I was actually there doing visualization of what the game's gonna be like. Like when nobody was doing 3D animation yet, I was already doing it, right?
Wow.
So they hired me. I mean, they moved me from here to Vegas, which was really nice. But yes, I saw the hours they work and I worked them myself. But you know what was cool?
What?
There were a lot of artists there, obviously.
Everyone's very creative.
Right. So they would bring a nude model every week, and we would draw her and stuff. It was like the best fucking thing. Every week you'd get a nude girl there, you know?
I used to actually do I know why, because I haven't slept in a week.
Oh.
But figure modeling.
Yes.
For advanced studio art classes.
Uh-huh.
And I would go and like put myself in like contorted positions and just like be like their model.
Really?
Yeah, it was actually really fun. I liked doing that.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe I should do that again. That was neat.
Yeah.
Because you're around like creative people. You know,
they get paid for it?
Yeah, you get paid for it.
How much?
I don't remember what it was. I think it was like $30 an hour.
Yeah. I mean, that's nothing to fucking expose your body. Shit.
And well, just you know, I mean, and it's not like they're taking pictures. You know, they're just like, you know, using you as a model.
Yeah.
And so it's not like the pictures are going to be taken off and like strewn all over the place and used for illicit purposes.
True. That's true.
And it's just like,
but you have a whole lot of people watching you. But then again,
you are people watching me. Yeah.
We already know that.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
As I said that, I thought, well, of course.
I'd have to lose 10 pounds first. Though. I mean, I know they like having like different body shapes and things like that, but
right.
I have to feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
Being naked.
Yeah. So you feel you're 10 pounds overweight?
I would like to be 10 pounds thinner.
Mm.
I'd like to be below. For my height, I'm actually underweight.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at the chart, whatever that doctor's chart is, it says if you're this height, you
have
to be
this much.
Yeah, the
body mass and shit?
Yes. I'm actually 5 pounds under what I should be.
Right.
But I want to be 10 pounds or 15 pounds under what I should be.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm trying to work on that, but it's very difficult when you're not, like, when I haven't been at home for a week and you're eating, like, other food that people are cooking for you, when you're getting taken out for meals. And
yeah. But you know what? Don't trust those charts at all. I mean, look at me. Do I look fat to you?
Obese.
Okay. That's the thing. It says I'm the verge of obese.
Shut up.
As far as my body mass. I'm telling you. That's what the fucking chart said. I couldn't fucking believe it.
Do you know what your body fat percentage is?
No, I don't. But the body mass was, like, 24 or something. Isn't that, like, pretty, I don't know, something like that.
Wow.
But yeah, I mean, what the fuck? You know, I was maybe 10 pounds overweight or something, you know, at the time.
Mm.
But far from obese. I've never been obese. What the fuck?
You know? Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
You fat motherfucker.
Yeah. I mean, usually guys my age have a big belly and shit, you know, and okay. I think I'm aging pretty well. I think so.
I want to go have sex.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why did you mention it in the same sentence? Now people will think you want to have sex with me.
Well, I was thinking you said belly, and then I was thinking about Lane's belly, and then I was thinking about my belly, because that's where he came this morning.
I see.
That's why my shirt's zipped up, because I've come
all
over it.
Do we need to know that?
he was aiming for my mouth, and then it was a little bit late, so...
I don't know. I don't know about taking it in your mouth, man.
It's
so gooey.
I have never liked cum in my mouth before, ever.
Oh,
ever.
But you do now?
Ever. I like it.
Really?
I like his.
Wow.
I like it a lot. It tastes good.
Yeah, you must be in love then.
This morning I was like, ooh, can I have a protein shake for breakfast before I go see Sam?
Fucking
disgusting. Put it in my mouth. Yes.
And do you swallow too?
I've probably swallowed 5 times in my life.
Really?
And 2 of them have been this past week.
Did you like them? Did you like... Well, obviously in the past week. Wow.
Previously,
Susie,
no.
You must really like this guy.
Well, I like his cum, and I like his dick, and I like his body and his personality. I like everything.
Old giddy and everything. That's good. Now, you know when I think you lose weight is when you go to Australia, because I'll bet you won't be able to have any food because you have no money.
I'm not worried about that.
No?
I can always rely on the kindness of strangers. Oh, speaking of which, did I tell you, like, you know, Australia, all of the hotels, all the hostels, everything is booked.
Really?
There is, even if I had $1 million, like, I couldn't find a hotel if I wanted to.
See, because it's summer there. That's probably why.
Because it's summer and New Year's Eve. I'm getting there on New Year's Eve.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, that'll be nice.
I know. But so, it's fucking booked.
You go to the fucking harbor in Sydney and watch the fucking fireworks.
I will.
Yeah. You've got to.
I will. But even on Couchsurfer.com, I'm constantly, like, I just got back a whole bunch of things being like, you know, no, I'm sorry, we're booked. We've got, like, people sleeping in the bathtub, you know what I mean? Like, you pick the busiest time of year to come.
Really?
But so I got this one back from, this one guy sent me a message back, and he's like, kind of quirky, but his message said, Susie, you picked the busiest time of the year to come. He's like, if you're not infected with the bot fly like this guy, and he posted a link, he's like, you are more than welcome to come and stay with me.
Oh.
So I click on the bot fly link or whatever that is, and it's some fly that like lays eggs in your skin. It's so fucking disgusting.
Ugh.
I was so creeped out by it.
Yeah.
And so then I sent back. I was like, no, I'm not infected with the bot fly. I was like, but I did have rabies once. And I did get bit in the ass by a tsetse fly in Zimbabwe. Did I tell you I had rabies?
No.
Yeah.
Really?
How'd
you get rabies?
I got bit by a rabid woodchuck.
Really?
Yes. Oh, man.
Wow.
I picked up this woodchuck.
So what was it like? I mean, what happens to you?
Well, the thing was, it was my first week in boarding school. I've told you this story. And the two lesbian chicks, I didn't know they were lesbians.
Yeah, I remember that. Okay.
And we were walking in the cemetery, and then we see the woodchuck, and it was stumbling around, and it was drooling. It wasn't foaming. And so I always thought, like, foaming, totally different than drooling. So I pick up the rabid woodchuck, and it bites me in the arm. And so I didn't really think at the time that it was, like, rabid. Mm. And so I went back to my room that night, and my house parent checked me in, and she's like, how was your day, Susie? And I was like, it was good, but I got bit by a woodchuck. And she's like, she's looking in her field manual for, like, being a house parent. She's like, there's nothing in here about student getting bit by a rabid animal. Fuck. So the next day, apparently, like, rabies can be airborne if it actually, like, did take over my system.
Oh, really?
And I was, like, breathing in my math class or whatever.
Uh-huh.
It can infect other students just by breathing.
That's amazing.
So they came and quarantined me and, like,
really?
Dragged me to the Troy Department of Health, which was awful. Where they give me a huge shot in my ass.
Uh-huh.
Luckily, they don't do the shots in the stomach anymore. But the shot was, like, so thick. It was this purple, like, serum. And I just felt it was, like, maple syrup, like, going through my ass.
Wow.
And I was just howling in pain.
Yeah?
Howling.
Wow.
And then you've got to go back, like, day 3, day 7, day 14, day 21, day 28 for more shots.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And how long did that take before you kicked it?
A month. It takes a month of getting the shots.
Wow.
So I don't know if I actually did get rabies, but, you know, because I was bit, the animal, you know, couldn't be found for testing,
right.
So I had to be treated. Anyway.
Wow.
But so now I'm immune to rabies for 10 years. See?
Good. So you can mess around with the animals
in
Australia.
Yes,
what about the couch surfing deal?
Oh, but so anyway, so the bot fly guy said, if I don't have bot fly, I can come and stay with him. And then another guy that I'm actually going to stay with, he started listening to the radio show. So now we have listeners in Australia.
Oh, yeah? Cool.
Sam, I just network us everywhere I go.
Yes, definitely.
I just promote. I should be a promoter. I'm really good at it.
Okay.
I just go and get drunk and just like, people just love the crazy things that I do. And they're like, where can we get more of you? LATalkRadio.com.
I know. It's funny because sometimes when I see people coming into the site, like from Egypt and China and all these places, I'm thinking, you know, and then they listen to our show and they get hooked. And I'm thinking, they must be thinking to themselves, these crazy Americans and the shit they talk about.
Oh, totally.
You know?
But so anyway, so I have on my couchsurfer.com website, like, what do you do? Radio personality, you know, latalkradio.com, like, check out my show.
Yeah.
And so,
in fact, I've seen people come from that site to visit your page.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah. See?
Yeah, it works. That's how I knew you were on the site, because, I mean, you mentioned Couchsurfer and everything, but then I could see a link from your page, so it was pretty cool.
Wait, where? Where do you see these things?
I have statistics for the website, so you can see where people come from.
Oh.
Yeah.
You have to show me how that works, because that's kind of cool.
It's really cool.
Maybe
you can track everything on the fucking internet.
Maybe if I get a nice statistics professor and I have to do a project or something, you can help me maybe do something like this.
Yeah.
I actually was thinking, statistically speaking, it is like virtually impossible that I've never gotten pregnant or an STD.
That's true.
You know, if I think about the numbers, sheer numbers, we're just talking here.
Yeah.
Of people
but
that
you know what? I never got STD either. And I didn't use rubbers at all. You know, but I've been in long relationships, I guess, and stuff, you know.
Yeah, but I was just thinking, I mean, it's like ridiculously not possible.
Yeah.
But somehow it is. And I was like, statistically speaking, that's amazing.
Yeah,
I was
you
like,
are.
I should do
extremely fortunate.
A stats project on that.
Yeah.
You know, the statistics of how I have not gotten an STD.
Yeah. Do you remember at one time they were talking about making condoms for women? You know, so you can insert it inside and stuff?
I think they have them.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never heard of anybody using them, though.
No, I think it's kind of weird.
It is. I mean, how would you hold it together?
I don't know.
In place?
What's a dental dam? What does that look like?
A what?
A dental dam.
Never heard of it.
It's like, it's a female condom that you put over your vagina, I think.
Uh-huh.
So, like, there's no exchange of, like, fluids when a guy goes down on you.
Right.
But isn't that awful?
I don't
awful?
Know what it's called, yes.
It's a dental dam.
Oh, okay, well, maybe hookers use it and shit, you know?
I don't know. That would just be awful. I wonder where you get dental dams. I mean, just the word dental dam.
Yeah.
Ooh.
A female condom, I don't know if it's going to work.
I don't know either.
Obviously not. It never really caught on.
No. I like the vibrating condoms.
Vibrating condoms?
Yeah.
They have those?
Yes.
The closest I've seen is like a ring that vibrates.
Well, that's kind of exactly what it is. It's a cock ring that vibrates, and it comes in the package with the condom.
I see. Okay. Cool. And it's got a battery that lasts 30 minutes or
exactly.
something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I got a couple of those at the Erotica show here. Just check them out. $5 a piece. But it was pretty cool, actually.
Did you try it?
Yeah.
Did your wife like it?
Pretty cool. Well, I'm not talking about my wife. She doesn't like it.
She doesn't like it.
But
or doesn't like you talking
just
about
Just ask
her.
Yourself, if you enjoyed it, the woman would probably enjoy it. You know?
Okay. Yeah. That's fair enough.
It's a vibrator. What the fuck? You know? It's a small vibrator, but it is. So as you thrust in and out, you're vibrating the clit there.
Oh, man. I want to go have sex.
Okay. Should we wrap up
early? Is it
time to go? I think we actually should maybe wrap up in 10 minutes because my voice is going and I'm sitting here holding back all those coughs that I have to.
SARS.
Fuck you, SARS.
All right, well, let me finish telling you a couchsurfer.com story. So anyway, so I've got the bot fly guy that says I could stay with him. And then there's another guy that sent me an email back. And again, he was like, you know, it's the busiest time of year. He's like, we have a sick, sick, sick house. You know, it's right on the water, or like beachfront, this and that.
Uh-huh.
He's like, it's a little mini palace. And he's like, you know, we actually have a whole bunch of girls that are going to be staying with us. So like all the spare bedrooms are full. But if you don't mind sharing a bed with my roommate... you could stay at our house. You know, he's like, because I listen to your radio show and you're fucking hysterical. He's like, I love you.
Really?
Yes. And so basically he wants me to go and sleep in his roommate's bed. But so I said yes to that.
Uh-huh.
Because the house just sounds amazing. Like this guy's personality sounds like quirky and perky, like whatever. But so now all of a sudden I'm wondering, because he's listening to the radio show and I'm just like, I like to be fucked. Yeah. Yeah, and all this other shit. And now his roommate's going to listen to this show, and all of a sudden...
he's going to expect some pussy.
I wonder.
Yeah.
I wonder.
You might actually want to give it to him once you meet him.
Who knows? Don't know.
Yeah.
But will I have to be obligated? Because I'm staying there?
No, you're never obligated to give sex to anybody. What are you talking about?
I don't know. Sometimes, like, sometimes, like, you feel like, I don't know. I feel
don't
like
ever
I...
do, don't ever have sex because you feel obligated. I mean, what the fuck, you know?
Hmm.
But if you want to, do it. I'm sure you'll want to.
I do want to. I'm sure right you'll now. Want to. Right
you,
now.
You find yourself on different beds every fucking night.
Stick it in my ass.
Yeah.
Actually, speaking of anal.
Yes.
So last night, Lane doesn't really get drunk. He'll have a couple drinks, but he really doesn't get drunk.
Right.
Last night, I made him, because he had been drinking at the bar for the afternoon with his friend. And then when he called me, they were about to leave the bar. And I was like, no, I'll be there in an hour. So I made them stay an extra hour until I even got there. And then we stayed another 2 hours after that. And then we went back to their house to continue drinking and watch a hockey game.
Uh-huh.
So basically, I forced them to stay and drink for like an extra however many hours. And so he got a little bit drunk. And all night when we were like having sex, it was like we were playing a game. Because all of a sudden he breaks out the KY and he's like chasing me around in the bed with his dick. And he's just like, I'm like, wrong hole. No, what are you doing? And he's just like, he was so cute about it because he was just like, kissy, kissy, hug, hug, hug. And then just, and I'm like, ow. Like, no. I'm like, what are you doing? And so this morning he's like, that was like my mission last night, to stick it in your ass. Like, I was just going, I was going for it.
Yeah.
And so then I was like, all right, well, here's what we're going to do. I need to be like prepped on it. You know what I mean? It's kind of difficult. I'm like, maybe you should just hold me down and do it.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you're really going to have to hold me down because I'll try and wiggle away.
Yeah, but he won't be able to stick it in if you're not relaxed. There's no way.
Really?
Yeah. You have to be very relaxed, very horny.
Because he did have his finger in my ass, and he's like, your ass is so tight. He's like, you need to just like, ah.
Yeah. It's funny, I know anything about it, considering I don't like it at all, but I've heard people talk, you know?
Mm.
And supposedly you have to really, the woman has to be really relaxed, and you have to take your time inserting and everything, you know? So I don't know if it's worth the trouble, but what the fuck? You know, I'm sure you'll try it. You'll be drunk enough to do it.
See, I don't know. I think I would like to do it when I was sober. That way, I don't know. Yeah. I would just be more aware, more in control. I could, you know, focus on it. I think it would be better if I was sober.
Yeah.
But
now, why would you do it, though? I mean, do you think you'd enjoy it?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I think so.
It's just because it's dirty, huh?
It's different.
Yeah.
I was telling that to Lane last night. I was like, you're dirty. You're a dirty boy. I don't remember 22-year-olds being, like, sticking their fingers in my ass and, you know what I mean, trying to fuck me in the ass.
Wow.
I definitely don't remember that.
Yeah.
He's very mature for his age.
Yeah.
I'll give him that much. But so I actually sent my girlfriend, Janique. You remember Janique?
Uh-huh.
My best friend in Colorado.
Right.
I sent her a text message this morning with Lane's phone number. And I was like, can you please call Lane and give him instructions on how to prep me and warm me up.
Because she likes anal.
She loves it.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I think if she calls and gives him some guidance, some tips. Just the tip. Oh. Seriously, though, like, do you think, like, your ass could, like, squeeze a dick off? I mean, like, wouldn't it be too tight?
What do you mean squeeze it off? Like, push it out?
Well, no, like, say the dick is in your ass.
Right.
Okay? And, like, you don't like it, so you squeeze, like, contract your ass.
Uh-huh.
Couldn't it, like cut the dick off?
Nah, come on.
Come on.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I don't know.
It's just like, your ass.
Hurt?
No.
I don't know. Never mind.
No, it's just probably so tight. But I don't know, Susie, I just can't imagine the act of anal sex. It just doesn't do anything for me, you know?
Hmm.
But then again, you know, to each his own, you know? People love all kinds of stuff.
Well, I haven't finished my Holy G-Rail book, but I will by tomorrow, and so I'll find out.
Yeah.
What we're supposed to stick in your ass, Sam.
Okay. Well, if you manage to find it and really squirt, then I'll believe there is a G-spot. But until then, I've yet to meet anybody who said they actually squirt from being rubbed in the G-spot.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'm going to go home and find out.
Yeah. But supposedly, it's like an orgasm where you feel you're going to pee or something, you know? So try it. What the fuck?
Well, I don't want to wet the bed.
Well, you're going to have to.
Really?
Yeah, I think. I don't know what that liquid is that comes out anyway.
We actually studied it, and there were a whole bunch of different studies in my old sexual psychology class.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a substantial amount of urine in there.
Really?
But they can't figure out exactly what the whole substance is.
Right.
Like scientists that have like dissected it.
Really?
They've like centrifuged it and like, you know, spun it around and tried to separate all the different components. And it is urine, but mixed with something else.
Wow.
They can't figure out what that something else is.
Jeez.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Wow.
Technology.
Yeah, if it's got urine in it, why would you want to pursue this at all? Unless you're into urination and golden showers and shit.
Aww.
Yeah. That doesn't appeal to you.
I don't know. If, like, I'm showering with someone and they want to pee in the shower, like, while I'm there, I don't mind.
They'll pee on you.
if they hit my foot while they're peeing in the shower, but no.
I mean, people like to drink it.
Pee on their face?
Yeah.
Ew, people drink it?
Yeah.
Ew. Come on.
No, I mean, look, I've seen porn, you know? I mean, you can't ignore it on the internet. People send you fucking shit all the time.
Aww.
Of weird stuff.
They drink it?
Yeah.
That's gross.
It really is. It's probably very unhealthy, too.
Ew.
Yeah. See, that's stuff that people do, you know?
Do you have sex when, have sex when women are on their period?
No, never.
Really?
I used to when I was like 16, 17, until one time I pulled out my dick, it looked like a fucking slaughtered chicken. And I thought, fuck it.
Oh,
you know,
God.
I'm not doing it anymore. No, so I can wait a few days. What the fuck, you know?
See, I like to have sex when I have my
period.
Do you?
Yeah. Why, because you're very horny and stuff?
I'm very horny. If I have a lot of cramps, like just having a big cock in your fucking pussy just really makes...
And the guys don't mind it?
Not really, no.
Really?
Yeah.
I know. I think most guys don't mind it.
Yeah, and it's weird because, like, unless you're bleeding, like, super heavy, for me, like, the blood, like, kind of stops, like, and gets replaced by, like, cum and being
by
wet.
By semen.
Yeah. Well, no, well, that too. Although that is... Can we be really gross?
Well, who's going to stop you?
There's nothing worse than when a guy comes in you and you have your period, and then when it comes out, it's like... It looks like an abortion.
Like a red clump?
It looks like a fucking abortion.
Oh, my God. Like you passed your placenta.
Yes. It's oh, man. It's like your cum mixed with his cum mixed with blood, and it's just it's all globbed together.
Fucking
and it's,
disgusting. Aww. Susie, I mean, sex is supposed to be pleasant.
Oh, man.
This is not pleasant.
Actually, that leads me to my next question. Mm-hmm. So, say you're getting fucked in the ass. The guy comes in your ass.
Right.
How do you get that out?
You shit it out, I suppose.
Really?
How do you get it out of your vagina? Do you douche every time?
No, like
it just comes out, right?
I pee and I like do a little hoppy dance.
Well, peeing doesn't clean it up.
But like peeing, like, you know, you're kind of like pushing and I don't know. And then you like open and contract your vagina and like whatever.
Yeah.
And it'll come out.
Yeah.
But like, so I asked Janique about this and she's like, I love it. I love it when hell comes in my ass. And I'm like... Oh, that's so gross. I mean, really, I was like, how do you get it out? She's like, I farted out.
Oh, my God.
This conversation has gone downhill
quickly. It really has. I mean, we're into all bodily functions. It's disgusting. Let's take a break, okay? We'll be back right after this.
I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren. If you are one of Santa's helpers who needs help with their love life, log on to elfharmony.com.
Thanks to elfharmony.com, I found someone special. And now I no longer have to, pleasure my elf.
Go to elfharmony.com and we'll match you to the perfect mate based on 29 dimensions of impishness.
Much in common. We both like pointed hats and pointed shoes.
Hey, I'll show you something else that's pointed.
So log on to elfharmony.com today and find out that someone who makes toys all year deserves to find the total package. Also, due to a recent court ruling, we help fairies too.
On your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone. Commercial-free, original talk. Only on LA Talk Radio. Your favorite talk station.
Free yourself away. Free yourself away. Get yourself away. Get away.
Sam and Susie in the Morning, right here on LA Talk Radio.
It's still really cold in here.
I know.
You know?
It's like, it was like 40 degrees this morning.
Yeah.
But it's funny, yeah. I keep calling everyone on the East Coast. And I'm talking to people, and I'm like, I'm cold. They're like, shut the fuck up. It's like negative like 10 out here.
I know. I don't know how people can survive that, you know? I mean, with 45 degrees last night, I had my thickest jacket on, and I was still freezing.
I went with body
shivering.
Heat.
You went with body heat. There's nothing like it, huh, when it's cold outside. I know. I enjoy body heat a lot.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. So I'm surprised you haven't made a comment about my fuck knot that is my hair.
Okay, what's going on with your hair? Well, you haven't been home.
And I have not been home. So it's just one big fuck knot in the back.
Yeah, fuck knot.
A fuck knot, yes.
So I take it you didn't take a shower after sex this morning?
No.
Wow.
I came straight here, Sam.
Okay.
I didn't even wash
Good thing you don't smell like sex.
I didn't even wash my hands.
No. You're disgusting. Pathetic.
You love it, come on.
Yeah. I gotta play this this previously with a queef again.
Okay.
For those who just joined us, you gotta listen to this.
Previously on Sam and Susie in the Morning.
And then we go and we get in his bed.
Uh-huh.
And so we kind of start fooling around a little bit. And all of a sudden, like, he sticks his hand in my, you know, wet pussy. Like, I was wet from the pool and, like, wet from being wet. And all of a sudden, I queef. And I had never, like, I'd never had a hand
in it. For those who don't know what queefing is, it's a pussy fart.
Yes, it's a pussy fart.
That's
so he sticks his hand in my pussy and I queef. So I was so mortified, like, my face turns red, and he pulls his hand out, and he was like, oh my God, that was disgusting. Put your clothes on, I'm taking you home.
It's Sam and Susie in the Morning, LA Talk Radio.
Okay, so
thank you, Greg, for that one, for making that for us.
I know, that is the funniest fucking story.
Oh, man.
With a queefing.
It was just awful. Like, I was just such a jerk.
Yeah.
You know?
Do girls ever do, like, queefing contests and shit?
Is that like, you know, when girls have sleepovers, it's like pillow fight, winter undies? Is
yeah,
that like...
something
no,
like that?
No, nothing like that.
Nothing like that.
I'm sure there's probably some kind of like porn with it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Queef on
demand?
On demand.
I don't think so.
No.
I mean, I would have to have something to shove in my pussy, like maybe with a dildo and like get air in there.
Yeah.
And then maybe.
See, there's girls that are professional. I mean, on Howard Stern, he's had a couple girls like that.
Really?
And they can take air in with their pussy and then blow it
I've
out.
I've never tried.
Yeah.
I've seen some amazing strippers that, you know, they'll just walk up to something, spread their legs, and like they'll bend down and they'll like eat things with their vagina.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And then they'll be able to walk over and they'll be able to like spit it back out.
Yeah. I wonder if they can put out a candle or something.
Yep, right? I've seen candles get put out too.
Really?
That would just be hot, like lowering yourself down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know, but people do crazy shit.
Oh, God. You know? There's this one porn that I saw. I don't know if I told you about this or not before, but it's this guy's head inside the woman's vagina.
Yes, you've told me about it. I've seen it.
It makes me, like, it makes my lungs, like, cringe because I'm, like, imagining being able to breathe in there. And, like, what if you can't get out?
I know.
Like, let me out of here. Like, who would do that?
Your head inside. Oh, my God.
Like, doesn't it make your lungs just, like, tighten up and you're just like... I mean, how long would you have to hold your breath to, like, even work your head in there?
I don't know. And there's bones there. I mean, how can you possibly fit a fucking head in there?
I have no fucking clue.
Because a grown man's head is probably wider than a baby.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. My sister was telling me something that was just kind of funny the other day. She's like, where are you? And I was like, oh, I'm at the hospital waiting for DJ to have her C-section. My sister's like, C-section babies are beautiful. And I was like, really? Why? And she said, because they don't have cone heads.
Right. They don't have to squeeze through.
Yeah. And so then my sister was like, it was really funny. I was delivering a baby last week, and the woman tried for 2 hours to push it out through her vagina, and then it just didn't work for some reason, and so she had to have the C-section.
Mm-hmm.
But the baby had a cone head anyway from the 2 hours of pushing.
Yeah.
The woman
well,
was
you know,
pissed.
The babies have a little soft spot on their head.
It's made for kissing.
It's made for kissing?
Kissing, yes.
No, it's made to be able to get through the fucking canal.
No, I'm telling you, when I hold like little Bowie, who's one of my other little kids that I nanny for, he's 5 months old now. When I hold him in the Bjorn, I have him strapped to my chest,
mm-hmm.
and I put my head down, my lips just fit perfectly on that soft spot.
So cool, you know?
And it was like, made for kissing. Like, I just constantly, like, yesterday, and now he's getting, like, little bits of hair, and it literally looks and feels like peach fuzz. Right. And so, like, you know, I'm drinking wine, I'm getting drunk at work, I'm having a good old time, but I've got the baby strapped to my chest. Uh-huh. And, like, the mom comes in, and I'm just, like, nuzzling my lips on the baby's head. And she's like, Susie, that's my baby, what are you doing? I'm like, I just can't help it. I was like, it's so soft and fuzzy, I just want to, like, rub my lips all over his little head.
Yeah.
And she's like, all right, you can do that. Yeah. I'm like, you know, like if you say like, oh, it reminds me of a peach, I mean, it sounds sexual. And the father's like, Jesus Christ, look at our fucking nanny.
Yeah.
Like molesting our son's head.
I wonder if nature's made babies cute so we wouldn't get rid of them, you know? So
probably.
We wouldn't abandon them.
Probably.
They're the cutest.
They really are. I'm telling you, this little thing is so precious. I mean, the way he just looks up at me with like these big eyes, you know, and he's just, you know, he's fascinated by me. And I'm like, and then he gives me this huge smile that just lights up the world. And I'm like, I love you.
Yeah.
I'm like, really, you were just the cutest thing ever.
Wow.
And the same with my little Ethan, you know what I mean? Like snuggle, like climbing into bed with me at like 3:57 in the morning and just like, you know, just curled up in my arms. And I just like, you know what I mean? It's like, who needs a boyfriend when I have like a little kid like this?
That's
so sweet.
I know. And then they grow up and they're not cute anymore.
This one keeps getting cuter. I mean, actually,
yeah,
all
well,
three
wait till he's a fucking teenager and then talk to me.
I think he'll be hot then.
Yeah. Well, hot is one thing, you know, but attitude is another. And they're not as cute anymore.
No, I think these guys are going to maintain their
cuteness. I love my kids to death, but I liked the time when they were kids.
Aww.
It was fun. It was
You're one of the few. Most people are like, hurry up and turn 18 so you can get out of the fucking house.
No, I loved when they were young.
When's Sean going to turn 16?
In June. In fact, this week I'm going with him to get his driver's permit.
I was just
going to
ask, when's he getting his driver's license?
Yeah, he's getting his permit this week.
Are you going to buy him a car?
Yeah.
Really?
We bought my daughter a car and she never fucking drove it.
What?
Yeah, so we sold it.
What kind of car did you buy her?
Like a almost brand new Focus. It wasn't brand new, but a couple
and
years old.
And she didn't drive it?
No.
Why?
Because she's afraid to drive. Apparently, this fucking generation of teenagers are afraid to drive.
What?
Yeah, many of
Bullshit.
She says like, a lot of her friends are like that, too.
Teenagers want freedom so badly. They want to be able to like get away and
I
drive.
I know, many of them do. I don't know what the fuck that went on there, but...
she still doesn't like driving?
Yeah. But my son's eager to drive.
Oh,
and that's
man.
Good, because I'm not going to have to make these long trips anymore to see them every day. Or not every day, but, you know, a couple of times a week.
No, seriously, you that's
know.
Crazy.
Yeah. It's like they're totally on the other side of the fucking valley, you know? They have to drive there all the time. But yeah, I love babies. I love kids, you know?
Me too.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, I was like lipping that kid's head yesterday. I'm just like...
Really?
Mwah, 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 mwah.
And you know, I before I had kids, I thought I'd never be able to handle kids. You know, I don't have the patience. I don't have this.
No, you don't.
They start screaming and crying. But it's amazing when it's your kids, how tolerant you become.
It's like, I don't even think it has to be like your kids. I mean, like the kids that I take care of, like, I love them all so much. I
right.
really do. Like, you know what I mean? Like, their puke doesn't bother me. Their pee, their poop, their snot.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'll lick something off their face and, like, eat it. You know what I mean? Or if Skylar will be like, here, doozy. Like, or, you know, he'll pick up some kind of food and he'll eat it. And he's like, nah, I don't like it. You eat it. And he sticks it in my mouth. Like, you know, I'll eat it. I don't care. But it's like people don't do that unless it's, like, their kids or unless they have, like, a special bond or
That's
relationship.
True. That's true, yeah. You see, I wasn't grossed out by their poop and all that stuff either.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it took a while to get used to it, but, you know, and sometimes it smells terrible. But, and God knows I don't like shit at all, anything to have to do with shit and ass.
My father or my grandfather, this is funny, when I think when I was born, you know, everyone was at the hospital, and my grandfather was home with my handicapped sister, Kate.
Uh-huh.
And so she was like 4 or 5 at the time, but because she was of her disability, she was still in diapers. And she took like a ridiculous shit in her diapers.
Uh-huh.
And like he didn't know what to do with it. So he took duct tape and he duct taped the diaper onto her so it couldn't fall off. And he left her like that until someone came home because he didn't know what to do.
Wow.
It's like, how could you not know what to do? Take it off and you know.
Some men are not into that at all.
Well, I mean,
what are you going to do?
I don't
you can't
know.
Can't blame him.
But
you know?
it's not rocket science. I mean, really.
Yeah.
Take the fucking
no,
diaper
but it
off.
Takes, yeah,
wipe
but
an ass, throw a new one on.
But you get, yeah. You got to be able to deal with it. Some people can't. What
the
are you
duct tape,
do?
Duct tape the fucking thing.
I
on.
Know that's funny.
Oh man!
I know, but it's terrible when there's so much poop and runny, and it just comes out of the diaper.
Mm.
Oh man, what a fucking mess, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nothing worse.
Yeah.
Did I ever?
How come we're talking about all bodily functions today? I mean,
I don't
what
know.
Is that?
Did I ever tell you I was shit on?
No.
I'll tell you the story really quickly.
You were shit on?
I was shit on.
Ugh.
It was,
do I really want to hear that?
Yeah, this was very sad. So I took care of a severely retarded man, Jack, when I lived in Massachusetts for a year. I was his one-on-one aide.
Right.
But the first week that I had this guy, I brought him down to his program and everything, and I got sick that day. Like I thought I was coming down with like the flu or something. And so I left him at the program for the day, and I went to my friend's house down the street, and I went to take like a two-hour nap. Uh-huh. So I come back, and I'm like, did he go to the bathroom? I'm like, is everything all set? And they're like, yep, he's all good. So he had his diaper on and everything, and I put him in my car, and my next job was to bring him to his private swim lesson.
Right.
So I bring him to the private swim lesson, and I'm like, what is that smell? I'm like, oh my God. He shit all over the backseat of my car.
Oh,
like,
my
the
God.
Diaper like overflowed and exploded. No one had taken care of him when I was gone.
Yeah.
You know, and they said that they did. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And so the poor guy, you know, and he you know, his name's Jack. And so anyway, I try and like bring him into the building, and it's freezing cold, you know, so I couldn't even like roll down the windows in the car. So I bring him into the building, and I get him into the bathroom, and I get him showered off, and then basically I always would put underwear on first, in case he would have an accident in the pool, underwear, and then his bathing suit on top.
Right.
So because he had shit his shit his pants before, I had to not use those underwear, so I just put him in his bathing suit. Mm. So now I bring Jack into the pool. So I'm in the pool, I'm swimming with Jack and his instructor, and we're having a good old time. And to get him out of the pool, at the end, there's a colander-like seat that they put on for handicapped access, and so they put him in the seat, and they strap him on, and then they kind of, like, crank it up, and that's how he gets out of the pool. And my job is to stand underneath the seat and, hold him, like, kind of spot him to make sure he doesn't fall out. So I'm standing underneath with my hands up in the air, like, looking up at him, and I just get shit strained through the colander-like seat.
On your face?
Strained onto my face.
Oh, Susie.
My entire body.
Oh, my God. That is disgusting.
I didn't know. I was just like, oh my God. Oh my God. You've got, like, really? So, I mean, this poor kid, you know, it wasn't his fault. And so he's, like, just strained onto my face. And so I duck under the water, and I'm like crying because I'm sick. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. It's my first week working with this kid. I'm like, what else can go wrong? I bring him home to his mom, and I tell his mom the story, and she's like, please don't quit. Please don't quit. Please, please, please. And I'm like, dude, it's going to take a lot more than getting shit on for me to quit.
Yeah. You see, it's amazing that you could do a job like this. I mean, I really admire women that can do this.
Mm.
Or even men, you know, that are nurses and stuff. Because, I mean, the shit you have to deal with, literally, you know, is... I don't know how anybody can do it and actually enjoy their job, but they do.
You know what? When I was when I would take Jack out... you know, I kind of did it because I felt bad about, you know, not having spent time with my own sister. And, you know, I kind of felt very selfish about kind of abandoning her and leaving her up in New York. So, you know, I decided to take on a very, very challenging person that needed a lot of help.
Yeah.
And so I would bring him everywhere in the world that people, like, never thought he should go. I'd bring him to Broadway shows, to Blue Man Group. You know, I would take him out to, like, really fancy restaurants. I taught him how to ride horses. I would take him swimming every day. I really kind of just, you know, was like, this guy deserves to, like, see the world. People would constantly come up to me, and they're just like, thank you. Thank you for doing this, because I can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, but the world needs people like you that can do this, and thank you. And then other people would come up, and they're like, you're going to heaven.
Yes.
I'm like, thank you. Everyone else says I'm going to hell.
Yeah. Susie's going to heaven, and she's going to New York and Australia.
And D.C. and Boston.
And D.C. and Boston. Wow.
Tomorrow's D.C.
Yeah. And so we're going to do some shows. I don't know. I'm still figuring out how we're going to do this. I'll have, like, guest co-hosts and shit, and you'll call in and all that stuff. So we should have pretty good shows.
I think so. I think we will.
And anyway, I just wanted to plug the show that's coming up next. That's the Downtown Lounge with Eric and Robert. And a great show, as always. And we're going to be with you tomorrow, right?
Yep.
That's going to be your last day this year.
And I'm going directly to the airport tomorrow after the show.
Okay, sounds good. So we'll see you all tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Susie in the Morning, which airs every weekday at 9 a.m. Pacific. To contact the show, please email your question or comment to sam@latalkradio.com or susie@latalkradio.com. A complete list of all past shows can be found on our archives page and on iTunes. For sponsorship or advertising information, email us at info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Susie in the Morning is a presentation of LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com. LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.